In the past and past messages, we've talked about the strength of the Lord and how important that is. You know, that we have to have strength to follow the Lord, power to do His will, and so forth. And I think we understand that the need for that. But I want to look with you this morning in Joshua chapter 1, and I want to look at a contrast to that. You know, we see that strength is very important, but I want to look at something that the Lord contrasts to strength, or, you know, you could say shares along with it. And we can see this in Joshua 1 and verse 7. Joshua 1 and verse 7, it says, Be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from the right nor to the left, that thou may prosper wherever you go. And so Joshua is being admonished here to be strong. And we know that he needs strength, right? I mean, I can't imagine having to lead a nation of millions of people, you know, who are trying to enter the land, and that land is filled with a strong enemy. You know, you need strength for that. And so he says, you know, be strong. But I want us to look at what he says next. He says, be strong, but be very courageous. He doesn't say be very strong and courageous. He says be strong and very courageous. And that very really stuck out to me. It's like, wait, I thought strength was like one of the most important things to, you know, to be able to overcome our enemies. But in this situation, in this verse, it almost is saying, you know, yes, be strong, but you have to be very courageous. And that word for very, it means to be vehement. You know, that we are to be vehemently courageous, or you could say forcefully or intensely courageous. And this kind of gives us an understanding. We can kind of read between the lines here, because we can be strong and have strength, but if we are not courageous to use that strength as the Lord is directing us, then it's almost for naught, right? We can be very strong and have lots of strength. And you think of Samson, right? He was a man who was strong. But you know, one thing you could say is he lacked the courage sometimes to do what was right, right? To make a stand for the Lord. He had strength, but he didn't have courage in the sense of what it takes to follow the Lord. And we'll look at more of that later. But, you know, it's not that he was afraid of the enemy, but courage has more to do, you know, it's not just not being afraid, but it's following it in the way that God wants us to go. And so we must have courage. We must be strong, but be very courageous. And, you know, of course, one of the main reasons we need to have courage is because we face opposition, we face enemies, we face difficulties. You know, sometimes we can go through situations that make us nervous, right? That cause us concern, and we think, man, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can make this. And we need courage. We can face fears, doubts, you know, worries. We can face spiritual powers that are very real. Some people can, you know, say, you know, what's the spiritual realm? You know, what matters most is what's in front of you. But spiritual powers can be very real. You know, they can be very intimidating when you're going through difficult situations. You know, and so we need courage. And now we've been ministering in places and we've felt a real spiritual opposition. And I tell you what, when you're facing it, you realize you need God, you know, because you can't make it on your own. You're not strong enough in your strength to face these things. You know, you need God to intervene. And in fact, I was at this last camp. You know, it was the first night of camp. And we were having a tough time because if you can think of what would go wrong in a service, that went wrong for us. The sound system was not working properly. You know, we could barely get the piano and the song leader to come out of the speakers. The piano wasn't working right. There was like one key that wasn't working, and you know, you'd press that and nothing would happen. You know, it was just the projector didn't work. Oh yeah, the sustain pedal was opposite. You know, it worked opposite from what you wanted to. The projector wasn't working right. We didn't have a good computer for it. Then the power went out 10 minutes into praise. And it didn't come on until 10 minutes before the service ended, right? Till the sermon was over. You know, it was like everything that could go wrong went wrong. It was like we were facing an opposition. And sometimes you can just get overwhelmed and say, I give up, you know. But yet we can't do that. We have to have that courage to face it and say, no, Lord, you're in charge. We're just going to keep going. You know, you are going to defeat your enemies. The enemy can't get, you know, overcome and stop what you want to do. And there's that aspect to the Christian life. You know, sometimes God can give us what we need to do his will, but yet it's so important that we have the courage to face it and to overcome. And that's one of the most wonderful things about the Christian life is, and about following Christ, is we're not facing our enemies alone. We're not doing it in our own strength. Now, we can do that. We can walk as if we're facing them alone and we're doing it in our own strength, but we know what happens, don't we? Right? It's not a good outcome. But when we go in his strength, in his might, in his power, we overcome. And so the commandment or the admonition to us is to take courage, to face our enemies and our obstacles with courage. Don't give up, but overcome in the strength of the Lord. Now, before we get into courage and looking at that in the scripture, I want to consider the opposite, right? What is the opposite of having courage? Well, in one sense, it's one opposite, right? You could say being fearful, yes, that would be true, but you could say you can have courage or you can be discouraged, right? You can walk in discouragement and defeat, or you can walk in courage, knowing that God will cause you to overcome. And I just want to consider that, you know, that if we're discouraged and downcast, it is very hard to be courageous. It's very hard to take courage against the situation we're facing. You know, when you're facing your giants, and if you're downcast and discouraged, it's really hard to face them. You know, and when you consider that thought of discouragement, and you try to, you start to think, oh, where did that come in? Where did that first start? Very often it stems from what we're thinking, from our thought life. A little thought comes into our mind, you know, not necessarily from the Lord, right? Well, I should say definitely not from the Lord, because he doesn't discourage us, you know, but a little thought can come in, you know, we can think about how difficult the situation is and, oh, I don't deserve to go through this. Why do you know so-and-so is walking in victory? Everything's going right for them, but not for me. You know, and you can start these thoughts that can come and go, you know, round and round in our hearts, and before we know it, we're discouraged, we're downcast. You know, we can want to give up. And I want to just quote a phrase from Pastor Paul Karam in his book True Christianity. He said this. He said, "Discouragement is the consequence of meditating upon and verbalizing what the enemy is saying rather than what God is saying." And you know, that's so true. When we think and meditate on thoughts that come into our mind and we don't first check, are these true? Right? We've talked about the eight gates, right, that Paul gives us. Is it true? Is it just? Is it a good report? Is it worthy of our thinking on? You know, we don't pass the thought through and we just start thinking about it, and we don't realize we're thinking about a thought that the enemy has planted in our mind. And we, of course, once you think about it, it's a short step to start talking about it, right? Sometimes it's a really short step if we don't examine our thoughts. It goes right from our brain to our mouth without passing through our heart or our spirit, you know, that filter. And we start thinking about it, and you know, once you start saying it, it really gets embedded in your spirit and starts to affect your heart. You know, and so we want to be very careful of that, because it's very difficult. I mean, I'll stop short of saying impossible, but very difficult to be courageous for the Lord if we're downcast and discouraged. And so we want to watch out for that. You know, there's this thought that Paul gives us in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We are to take these thoughts and imaginations, we're to take them captive. We need to put handcuffs on them and throw them in jail, right, until the Lord shows us what to do with them, you know, until the Lord brings clarity. You know, put them into captivity, or else we will be held captive by them. Right? And that's the choice. We take them into captivity, or they will hold us captive by discouragement. And then it takes something, a rather large effort to get free from that. And usually we need the help of the Lord, of the Good Shepherd, to come and get us back on our feet. And so it's so vital that we fight against these thoughts and imaginations. And there was a thought that I picked up in camp, you know, about imaginations. Sometimes you can imagine yourself in scenarios, and sometimes that's nice. You know, you think, oh, you know, what if this happened? And, you know, you kind of think about, you know, what if scenarios. But we need to be careful of that, because sometimes you can get into worst case scenarios. Have you ever started thinking about a situation and thinking about, well, this could happen and that can happen, and all of a sudden you're like, well, what if that happens? What if the worst happens, and what am I going to do, and how am I going to plan for that, and how am I going to overcome? And, you know, all of a sudden, you're dwelling and you're living in that imagination, because it's taken root in your thoughts and in your life, and you become concerned and you become agitated, and it makes you upset and you lose your peace, because we can imagine, you know, what might happen. And so we want to be careful about that we take those imaginations captive for Christ. And you might think, well, that's kind of a small thing. Can that really affect us? Well, I want to just consider Numbers 32, right, where an imagination affected a whole generation, right? And this is about concerning the 10 spies, right? Numbers 32 and verse 9. Right, here's the 10 spies, and actually this is Moses talking about it after the fact in Numbers, but Numbers 32:9 says, for when they went up into the valley of Eshcol, they saw the land, and they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. You know, these 10 spies started to present a scenario to Israel. And what was it? It was the worst case scenario. Right? They acknowledged that the land was good, it was perfect, it was ready, you know, for them to enter into, except there were these big guys that were going to cause them trouble. And, you know, they presented it as the worst case scenario, even though it wasn't true. But they started to present that, and they talked about it, and they started to live in that until it came to pass in their lives. That was an imagination they should have gotten a hold of and taken captive and cast it down, like Caleb and Joshua did. And you know, that generation, they got a hold of that scenario, and they started to live it, and it came to pass, right? And in fact, right, even after they decided, oh, we made a mistake, they tried to go in, and they were defeated, right? They got kicked out of the land. But it was all because of thoughts that entered in, right, through the 10 spies, of course, but they allowed that to come in and remain. And that had a great effect upon that generation. And so it's so important to examine and be aware of the things we start to imagine and think of and, you know, meditate on, and scenarios that we allow to play out in our mind, because we want to make sure that they're of God and that they're right. Now, sometimes we want scenarios we can allow them to play out of, you know, of following the Lord and what he has for us, and, you know, of maybe of what heaven's like. There's things that we can let play out in our mind that will encourage us in the Lord, but we want to watch out. You know, even overly positive things we want to be careful of, that they're of the Lord, but especially those negative ones that can discourage us and cause us to be downcast. You know, we want to have the mind of Christ. We want to go where he goes. And that takes courage. And so back to this thought of courage. You know, I wanted to see what the what Webster says, and he gives this definition in Webster's dictionary. He says, courage is a quality of mind that enables us to encounter danger and difficulties with valor, boldness, resolution, fortitude, but implying a patience to bear continual suffering. You don't have to write that all down. It's in Webster's. You can look it up if you want. But it's the idea that it's a quality of mind that enables us to face difficulty with a boldness, with a fortitude, so that we don't give up. We do what needs to be done. And now, I don't think courage means that we don't have any fear or we don't have any concern, you know. And when I say that, it's that we're not experiencing it. You know, fear can pass through our mind and our hearts. And of course, we fight against that. But it's not saying that we never experience fear or concern. I think courage really means we face fear. We are facing it, right? We are facing things that want to overwhelm us and turn us aside. But courage is facing those things and overcoming. You know, when I thought of courage, you know, growing up in my day, one of the most vivid illustrations of courage I could think of was in World War II. You know, I think of those soldiers landing at D-Day, knowing exactly what they were going to get into, you know, facing, you know, machine guns and, you know, enemy entrapments and so forth on the beaches and jumping out of airplanes into the dark. You know, I mean, that was courage because there was not one person that was not afraid. But they were all willing to face the fear and step out into the unknown because they knew they needed to do it. And it's because of that courage the world is a better place, because of that. And, you know, that's in the natural, but in the spiritual, you know, God wants to give us courage so that we can face the fears that we have, that we encounter in life, and overcome and triumph. And we can see this in Scripture in many places where, you know, people had to have courage to fight. You know, we think of David and Goliath. The interesting thing about that is we don't see a lot of fear in the situation where David's fighting Goliath. He's angry. He's angry at what the enemy is doing and speaking against the God of Israel. You know, but I think that we can understand that because this wasn't his first fight, right? He had already faced the lion and the bear. And he had already experienced the victory that comes with trusting in the Lord. And it's almost like it had become a pattern for him, right? Because he had trusted the Lord with the lion and the bear, there wasn't that same level of fear. You know, it was as if it was much easier to take courage in the Lord because he had done so in the past. And, you know, I think we can look forward to that as we take courage in God. You know, God becomes bigger and our enemies become smaller. And so we can, you know, take courage from that thought in David, you know, that it can become a pattern for our lives. And so we have to have that courage to follow the Lord. You know, if we want to be like those in Revelation 14, they followed the Lamb wherever he led them. But, you know, that takes courage. Because sometimes the Lord leads us to the mountain, right? I mean, the disciples, they didn't need a lot of courage, you could say, to go up the mountain with the Lord and see him transfigured. Although they did get scared at one point, you know, with the glory of God. But you know, it takes a lot of courage to follow the Lord into the valleys, especially when it's the valley of the shadow of death, right? And we proclaim, I will fear no evil, but fear is there, isn't it, right? And you have to have courage to face that. You know, courage to follow him where he leads us. Courage to trust, right? Sometimes it is scary when God's telling you to go forward and there's a lot of unknown and uncertainty. How is this going to work out, Lord? Lord, how are you going to provide for me in this situation? Lord, how are you going to enable me to do this? Because I can't do it. Lord, how am I going to go in this? You know, and it takes courage to trust in the Lord. Courage to stand. Right? Sometimes we have to make a stand for God. In our friends or workplace or with our family, they want us to do something. And, you know, unfortunately, we can't do that, right? Because we're following the Lord, and they don't understand it. They can't comprehend it, but we have to make a stand. That takes a lot of courage, because you pay a price for that. And I know some here have had to do that, but it takes courage, but it's worth it in the end when we do so. Another thing I was considering is, you know, forgiveness. Sometimes it takes courage to forgive people. You know, it can be hard to forgive and to let things go, things that have been done against us or things that we've experienced, but we must do that, because unforgiveness is like a prison. You know, when there's unforgiveness, it keeps everyone in prison, because, you know, no one will let each other go from the situation because they're holding on to it, to what each one has done to the other, or so forth. But, you know, the one who forgives is set free. And they're also setting free the one they're forgiving. They're saying, that's okay, I won't hold it against you anymore. You know, forgiveness brings liberty. Unforgiveness is a prison. And so we want to have the courage to be the one, even when, you know, the other one is not willing, that we'll be the one. I forgive. I'm gonna let it go. Of course, forgiving is forgetting too. If we're continually bringing up, that's not forgiveness. We have to be willing to let it go and place it into the hands of God, and that takes courage. Now, the question arises, how do we obtain courage? All right, how do we become courageous? Because it's not something we can work up, right? You can try and, you know, get yourself going and, you know, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me and quote all those verses, but it's not the same as having courage from the Lord, you know? And I was just considering this, and we started off by considering Joshua, right? Joshua was admonished, be very courageous. Many times he was told that, and he was reminded of that as we read it in the Old Testament. But I was considering, how did he obtain courage? And I was reminded of how he was under Moses. And one of those experiences where we see Moses ministering in the tabernacle, and in Exodus 33 and verse 11, it talks about Joshua. In Exodus 33:11, it says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face, as a man speaks with his friend. And Moses turned again, and he went into the camp, but his servant Joshua, he was a young man, he didn't depart out of the tabernacle. And it was like Moses, he'd had that experience, he'd experienced the glory of the Lord, and Joshua was there, seeing it from afar. You know, he was still in the tabernacle waiting on Moses, you know, getting the things that Moses needed and so forth, and, you know, maybe ready to write down, you know, things that Moses said. But when Moses left, Joshua said, you know, I want some of this for myself. I want to meet the Lord in this way. And so he lingered in the tabernacle. He wanted an impartation. And, you know, I think that in those moments where Joshua was, he wanted an impartation. He even wanted, you know, you could think like the Syrophoenician woman, he wanted the crumbs from the table. And in those moments, there was an impartation of that same spirit that was on Moses came into Joshua, you know, where he received courage. Now, I know that there was a laying on of hands where Moses imparted that, and I think courage came at that point. But I think that there's an impartation when we spend time in the presence of God and we're hearing his voice, where he imparts courage and strength into our hearts, you know. And now, it's not the person who spends the most number of services, you know, going to church and, you know, I went to 3 services and you only went to 2, so I'm more courageous. That's not how it works. But, you know, I think courage is found in the presence of the Lord. Now, going to church has a part in that, but, you know, Joshua lingered in the tabernacle because he wanted an impartation. And so, you know, if we want courage, it's found in the presence of God. You know, as we spend time with him, as we're crying out to him, you know, as we meet with him, there's an impartation. And that's why it's so important to spend time with the Lord daily and weekly, you know, that we meet with him, because there's an impartation. And, you know, sometimes we can do our Bible reading and our time of prayer, and it can, you know, more often than not, it can seem mundane, Right? Well, I read my Bible for today, and there was no earth-shattering revelation. Right? I didn't get a revelation from heaven on something, and we can feel like, well, maybe tomorrow. Right? You know, we don't see the effect of it, but we can understand that there's things taking place in the Spirit. That as we're spending time in His Word, you know, time in praying and opening our hearts to receive from Him, and that's an important part. There's an impartation. There are things that are taking place in the Spirit that are coming into our hearts that make a difference. And you know, that's why the Lord says the Holy Spirit is like wind. You can't see where it's coming, you can't see where it's going, but we can feel its effect in our life as we open ourselves to this move of the Spirit. And so we want to seek the Lord. Lord, impart courage to me. And we can cry out for that specifically. Lord, I need courage to do what you're asking me to do. You know, courage to face the giants, courage to overcome and to obey. You know, because when you think about it, we are the Joshua generation. And when I say that, I mean that we are the generation that is going to see some wonderful things. Excuse me. Some wonderful things in the days to come. You know, we're going to see and hopefully be involved in the Lord leading His people into their inheritance, you know, of being a bride prepared for the bridegroom. Now, that's our calling in these last days. But to do that, we need courage, right? Because the Lord's calling us to be like Joshua. You know, that was the message to Joshua. And the Lord wanted to make that abundantly clear to him, that he needed courage. And if that's the case for him, that's certainly the case for us. You know, and we can take courage from that. And I'll just close with this verse in Joshua 1 and verse 5. And this was a promise to Joshua. In Joshua 1, 5, it says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you." You know, that was the promise to Joshua as he took courage and was willing to face the enemies, to fight his battles, to do what was necessary. He said, "As I was with Moses, I'll be with you." You know, and sometimes you think of the founder of our fellowship, Pastor Bailey, and he was definitely like a Moses. And you think of, you know, how he, you know, sometimes it was like he had conversation with the Lord, and you were thinking, man, wow, how can our life compare to him? But yet, if we take courage and follow the Lord, the promise was, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. If we'll follow him, if we'll take courage, you know, he says, I will not fail you or forsake you. And we can take that promise for our lives, you know, to follow the Lord. And let's purpose in our heart to do that, to enter into the land, to fight our battles, to overcome, to take every thought to the captivity of Christ so that we can follow him to the end. And Father, we thank you for that. Lord, thank you that you have courage that you want to impart into our hearts. And Lord, we just even ask today that you would do that afresh. Lord, let there be a fresh impartation today of the Spirit of the Lord. Lord, and that courage to fight and to continue and to overcome and to triumph, O God. Lord, make us more than conquerors, Lord, through you. Lord, who strengthens us, we pray. Lord, let us be strong, but Lord, make us very courageous. Lord, we realize you're calling us to do, Lord, mighty things for you in this day and in this age. Lord God, Lord, would you just strengthen us and give us the courage to do that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.